2 Kings 22, verses 10 to 13, and 2 Chronicles 34, verses 18 to 21. The book read, and the book read with effect. The book of the law has been found in the temple. It's been lost. It's been neglected. It's been forgotten. It's been shoved aside. It's disappeared. But God has brought it back to the surface. And the book has been found. Now it's been read on the way up. I'm working on 2 Kings, chapter 22, verses 10 to 13. It's been read on the way up, verse 8. Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. And the king was then given the book. Verse 10, and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. So it's gone right to the top. And the book of God, the book of the law of the Lord, has now been read. Now this is a tremendously important point. The word of God is open and read. It's not treated as a museum piece. It's not admired and venerated as a relic. It's not treated as a trophy and put on a pedestal. It's not embalmed and placed in a museum and set behind a glass case or something, whatever. It's not treated as a talisman for Judah. It's read. It's not paraded and admired. It's not, as it were, treated with respect. It's read. And it's put to use. And it's read as a new book, a fresh book, a living book. You see, one of the problems for us, brother and sister, is this, that we are so familiar with the scripture. I speak for myself. I'm so familiar with it. I know the promises. I hear the commands. I know the history, as it were. I'm not bragging. It's just, I'm so familiar with it. There's no freshness to it very often. Oh, that God would give me a fresh sense of scripture. As though I was coming to it for the first time. But the word of God must be read. It's written to be read. And to listen to it. And to obey it. Now, I don't know what the king, Josiah, heard read. But the book of the law, well, he heard Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20 then. And he heard Deuteronomy 31, 10 to 11. And what do those passages say? The king, Joshua and so on, the leaders, must open up the word of God, the scroll, and read it, and obey it, and practice it. And the warnings are given, the promises are given, if they will not obey, and if they will obey. All this comes over so powerfully to Josiah. And it's put to effect. What effect? When the king heard the words of the book of the law, knowing that he had sinned, knowing that he was responsible, knowing that Judah had sinned, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes, and he took action. He was humiliated, he was humbled, he was repentant, he was afflicted, he was pierced. He heard the word of God, and he heeded the word of God. He was aroused, he was awakened. It's like Acts 2, verse 37, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And that verse says, the men of Israel heard this preaching, and they were cut to the heart. And they repented, and they showed their repentance in baptism. They became believers, they repented, they were cut to the heart. We must hear the word of God. We must be affected by the word of God, and it must lead not just to simple ideas, but to action, to reform. You'll notice that Josiah concentrates on the wrath of God, God's great anger. The Lord is angry with us. Great is the Lord's anger, he says in verse 13. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. This is what the gospel does, you know. Romans 1 verse 18. You wouldn't believe it by the modern evangelical. You think God begins with self-fulfillment and happiness for the sinner and, well, you're talking about sinners, but happiness for the customer. Self-satisfaction, satisfaction for the customer, entertainment for the customer. No, no, no. The gospel, the apostle, begins with the wrath of God, Romans 1 verse 18. And he didn't just touch on it, he goes on it, on with the subject for verse after verse after verse, even to chapters. John Bunyan opened his Pilgrim Progress, not with the pilgrim's happiness, but with his sense of fear and alarm, his sense of sin, living in the city of destruction, fleeing from the wrath to come. Mark chapter 7, Christ begins with the wickedness, the original sin in the human heart. When we go to the physician, the doctor, the GP, he doesn't begin with our cure. He begins with the disease, and he probes it, and he finds the cause of it, not just simply the symptoms. And he deals with the root of the matter. This is what's happening here. This is what the word of God must be for us. This is what preachers must be doing. Not dealing with symptoms superficially, but opening the heart by opening the word of God. Quick and powerful is the word, sharper than a two-edged sword. That's what the word of God can do, Hebrews. It can divide to the marrow, the joints. It pierces to the innermost part of the being. This is the motive for the gospel. Not happiness for the sinner, but the glory of God. Because of his wrath upon sinners for their sin, the glory of God in their conversion. This is what must be preached today. Not self-fulfillment and self-satisfaction and entertainment. What is Josiah's concern here? We have not obeyed the words of this book. Not the word, but the words, and all the words too. This is what's going on here. Oh, may God bless this passage to us. May God bless this discourse to us. Evangelicals, Reformed, awake. It's no good treating the Bible as a museum piece. It's no good venerating it. Hear it, read it, expose it. I'm reminded of Spurgeon. He said, I don't defend the Bible, he said. I wouldn't defend a lion. Open the cage door and let the lion out. The lion can defend himself. And so it is with the word of God. There's no need to defend it. Preach it, declare it, hear it, read it, obey it. Feel the force and power of it. Act upon it. Unbeliever, get yourself convicted and converted. How? By the word of God. Of course it will show you the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God. But it begins with your sin and God's wrath upon you because of your sin. Turn to the Lord and be saved. May God convict you of your sin and convert you to Christ. But this is a word too for the believer. Don't let's be like Judah in the days of Josiah. The Bible's hidden away. Well, we have it on the pulpit, we have it there, we have it in the chapel with the flowers around it. It's all elevated there, and of course it's in our confessions. Yes. How often I read about the Westminster Confession. Oh, the confessions are just secondary standards. No, they're not. For many, they are primary standards. The Word of God is the primary standard. Sounds good. It's got to mean it, my brothers and sisters. It's got to mean it. The Word of God, governed by the Word of God. Josiah speaks to us. The Lord is angry with us. We have not obeyed his word. The book read, and read with effect. May God bless that today to us. The book read and preached, and with effect, to the glory of God. Amen.